on upstep script 2015.
The specific issue I'm most concerned about is tailrace predation in Powerhouse 1. If we are moving flow from Powerhouse 2 to Powerhouse 1 to maintain the mid-range operation, then we are moving fish to Powerhouse 1. And that's okay when we're running most of the units over there, but as the unit numbers drop, we get decreased condition, egress condition, and increased predation in that tail race. So we have what we can see, which is a degradation of fish condition at Powerhouse 2, and what we can't see, which is predation occurring in the tail race at Powerhouse 1. And my question to the group is, do we want to leave the change form the way it is, which would suggest that you run Powerhouse 2 at mid-range all the time, and let the unit numbers drop as flow drops at Powerhouse 1, or do we suggest that as unit flows get down to, say, 5 units or less at Powerhouse 1, that we think about moving back to the upper end of 1% at Powerhouse 2 to move more of the fish and flow back over there. So that's the issue. I put together a change form this morning with supporting documentation. However, my concern is still the fish condition at Powerhouse 2. And I was, as I went through this, thinking that we hadn't seen much of a problem for sub-yearling Chinook that were out migrating in the summer. That's not Spring Creek, that's summer migrants. But in reviewing the work that was done out there in 2008 and 2009 by Gilbert et al., I do see that we still have an increased descaling situation for sub-yearling Chinook in the summer, and it's maybe a little more significant than I was thinking. So this is one of those juggling things, you know, we can see one, we can't see the other. Do we want to consider, again, relaxing that restriction on mid-range operation at some point to make sure that we don't put so many fish through the Powerhouse one tail race? So that's the question I have out there. Change form, I don't know that it's really ready for prime time yet, but basically what I did was I looked at, I was considering sockeye probably the species of most concern, so I looked at the 10-year run timing for sockeye, and we get to our 95% point at about June 21. So that's for the last 10 years, and I thought, okay, that's a good date. So what I did was I changed the change form for the fish passage plan language as it is now to read that we would do all those things that we talked about doing earlier between April 1 and June 21. And then after, on June 22 through October 31, I added a new section 5212, that would read that Powerhouse 2 units may operate up to the 1% upper limit, maintain Powerhouse 2 priority, and Powerhouse 2 units should continue to operate at mid-range whenever possible. However, these units may be operated at the upper end of 1% as necessary to minimize use of Powerhouse 1. And then later, I add an alternative, and that would be that the idea that once flows limit Powerhouse 1 to 5 or fewer units, then you would start that operation, which is probably more biologically defensible, so, but more complex for the project to deal with.
Yeah. The only question I have for you is 5 units, do we have some information? That
totally
is
arbitrary.
Okay, just checking.
Totally arbitrary.
Okay.
Anybody got a better number?
No, I don't know. I was like, going, I don't know.
3, 2, 1, 6?
Yeah, I don't know.
Areas of units or total flow? I mean, how much flow do you want to?
Yeah, I figured half the flow. I mean, it really, once you get to half flow at that powerhouse, it's always pretty poor because we have the unit priority. I don't remember exactly what it is, but there are large gaps between the units when we get down to that point, and that's because we're trying to keep units running under the ice and fresh sluiceway open gains. So you get a tail race that looks pretty poor, and you've got sluice wave that runs into that tail race as well as all of your units. In other words, all of your juveniles go into that condition at that power.
Have you had a chance to do some just like taking some dust off SimPass and like doing some stuff like saying, trying to find some like bookends, like saying if we think predation's at this level and with guidance at this seems to be the threshold points. Have you had a chance to do that?
I haven't done that, but I mean, there's so many guesses in there.
That's why
I'm not sure.
I know, I just trying to think it's going through it and just like saying, like, let's try to do some bookends. And like, if, as long as we don't think predation's more than this, we should be fine to here or something like that. Just try to get some great points. Because I mean, that's the question. I mean, yeah, predation's horrible there. But we've done a bunch of stuff there. Is it still that level of predation? I mean,
I don't know.
I know.
It's not as high as it used to be.
Yeah.
I know that.
But it's still a problem.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's still a problem. I have no idea what it is.
That's what
we've always tried to minimize that operation of that powerhouse once we get into the summer operations, because we have, right now we're about 62 degrees Fahrenheit in the river. We know that pike minnow predation particularly increases dramatically between 60 and 70 degrees. And so we're in that range where that's going on. It's just one of those, we're not looking at that. You can't see that, but it does occur out there. What we would see, I guess what I would ask, I think at the end of the day here, is what about looking at what we could look at? And that's the scaling at Powerhouse 2, running back up to the upper end of 1%. Sockeye are by and large gone out of the system. So it would be yearling or sub-yearling Chinook, river run fish. Temperatures are warming up, so their energy, they're getting more vigorous and able to swim through those gate wells. And so I'm just wondering, is there anything here that we need to be really afraid of? And I guess that's the check I could do. And if not, then I would automatically try to get away from
I don't think it's a bad idea. What I've seen is, like, let's try to find if we can get some ideas of some words, some critical predation zones would be, like, saying, like, if we think we have more than 50% predation at this kind of condition with five units, that's going to be a worse situation. Try to figure out where we think those cut points and predation levels are. And then if we say, if we find it's, like, really high predation and we're comfortable it's not there, then maybe this isn't a problem. Or we find it's really low predation, like, hey, if you have 20% predation at a tail race, this is a horrible situation. We really need to switch it around. That's going to give me some feelings. It's still going to be a bit of a gut check on this one.
Well, it is, because I don't have any predation numbers to put in it other than,
yeah.
I mean, what we can look at is, assuming a 1-to-1 flow-to-fish ratio, you can look at how many fish are going sensitivity.
And then I was thinking, then we go through and say, okay, if we start tweaking the tail race mortalities a little bit and find out when we start getting that tipping point a little bit and say, like, the tipping point seems to be more than the 20% mortality or something like that, a tail race.
That's reasonable.
And that would be, I think, a number that's reasonable. If we say it's like 60% mortality, I think that's an unreasonable number. And try to get a sensitivity of at what thresholds do we see this as a big problem or not.
And using Gilbert's mortality rates as the other end.
Yep.
And on the other end.
That was what I was thinking about that. Because I hadn't heard this one, but I mean, we've been toying with this idea. It's like, at what point does Powerhouse 1, the tail race becomes so bad, overshadows the scaling of Powerhouse 2.
That's it. That's the question.
And
we didn't consider that when we developed the change form. We were spending all of our time on the upside of that flow increase and not so much what happens afterwards. And so the way you read it, if you read through the change form, think about it, it really doesn't allow you to run those Powerhouse 2 units at the upper end of 1% at all.
Unless you have the adult criteria.
How would you measure tail race mortality for the powerhouse one?
Do a study, and we're not proposing to do a study. Basically, what we're talking about is just in here is doing a delightful Excel modeling run and just find out where those cut points are, saying your mortality has to be this level for it to be a benefit to powerhouse one to switch it the way Gary's suggesting, and if it's less than that, then powerhouse two is still going to be the benefit. It's going to be not good. I'm not going to want to write a paper on this one. I'm going to try to divorce I'm going to basically do an analysis and then say, I don't know what idiot did it immediately, but at least I'll have some idea of how I feel comfortable with it. I mean, that's just some of the true life trade-offs we make when we have the perfect data sets, and this is an area we don't have a lot of data. So this is just trying to make the best guess and see if we think there is a big problem. I mean, I've got another issue, but let's run this one to ground, then I'll bring up my issue as well.
So what about PNNL? Is there the possibility that with some of their subunit tests, they actually had flows in that range where they had 5 units or less in powerhouse 1 and could actually see survival?
Oh, Trevor, you're being so smart today. That's actually a brilliant idea. The only downside is we saw how long it took them to do the turbine stuff. So, yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right.
Getting that kind of information.
At least a trend as you cut units off.
We could. Survival. I mean, we have plenty of subunit information. They did that stuff with the turbine stuff, so they actually might have all the fish already. So just be doing an analysis and just taking a look at flows and saying what survival through powerhouse 1 was with these different flows. And if we want to get super, super tricky, we could say turbine versus sluice way, because they should be able to tell us the difference between those two.
They know where they went.
Yeah. You know. So we can see, like, hey, for the sluice, and that's the other part of it is, like, yeah, that's the other part is, like, saying if we find a sluice way, does it have as big a problem or is it a worse problem? And that's where most of the fish are going, then that would be a much smarter thing to do.
What I was concerned about was that it's June 25.
Yep.
I would suggest that this is something we should consider around June 21. So by the time we got something back from PNNL.
Yeah, well, I mean, our flows are...
next year.
Yeah, I think it's for next year. Because, I mean, Doug, our flows are dropping pretty quick, aren't they?
They're not really dropping that quick. They're kind of actually staying...
Close to 300.
Sweet!
They're kind of going strong at 250-ish.
Yeah, so for this well and warming temperatures. So for this year, right now, it wouldn't matter, I don't think, at this point. But some point going forward here, it will matter.
Yeah.
In June, in July, I would assume somewhere in the first or second week of July, this is going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Gary, could you clarify? Because I guess when you say
might want to hit your buttons because they can't hear the phone.
Don't they not work even when it's? Does it matter now, or is it working?
Well, it depends. If anyone on the phone wants to hear Doug, you should press his button. If no one really wants to listen to Doug, then
I thought it didn't matter. I thought the red light was a facade.
Yeah, that green button.
Is it actually work? Bern, can you hear me?
No.
Oh, great.
We're chill.
I thought. Just to clarify, now is actually when you would want this type of operation in the planet, correct? Because if I understand correctly this morning, looking at powerhouse operations, it looked like powerhouse 2 was putting about 100K out, and then powerhouse 1 is an opportunity now where you'd want the flexibility to throttle up powerhouse 2, even though, okay. So I just want to clarify that this would be
exactly,
the time.
You know, I think as you get into, I have no idea what the magic number of units or flow is for the powerhouse 1 where, this issue, that's why I have no idea how to do the predation side of this, other than I know that it becomes an issue. It's a known, I guess,
now
in the next couple of weeks as we start dropping down the unit operation of Powerhouse 1, which we will as we go forward,
right, yes, sir.
That's where it's an issue. And once we don't have enough flow to run Powerhouse 1, then it's no longer an issue.
There is that other horrible side we could take of this, is say, if instead of doing all units at Powerhouse 2, we could take one unit away to keep you at the 5, and keep doing that until we get to some threshold, and then throw it all over to Powerhouse 2, if you're down, like, say,
I don't think
unit.
There's a threshold, though.
I know. I can see this getting ridiculously complex real quickly.
Come on, let's go there.
Hey, Gary, do we have a split flow trigger for sockeye?
No, just for adults.
For sockeye right now, are we getting to the number we usually use for...
For adult...
total adults?
Yeah.
It's not specific to sockeye, it's adults.
It's adults in general.
Right, but I mean...
It's all...
Is it 30,000 total or 30,000 powerhouse 2? 30,000 powerhouse 2. Powerhouse 2.
30,000 total before August 31st. 25,000 total after August 31st.
Right. So,
really?
So we're
do you want me to pull up the FPP?
What thing that put that one in there?
Anyway, something to consider. We can't shut off powerhouse 1 or we want to actually balance the two. So that's the other thing. If you're trying to, in this discussion, we've been trying to maximize the second powerhouse, but in fact, we have a criteria that tells us to split it at the moment.
Yeah, right. And that would be overriding if we hit it.
So you think adult trigger is going to be
I think so. Okay. Yeah, I think we'd have to.
Well, then this is mute.
Well, is it? I mean,
for a while.
We were 28,000 yesterday or 20,000.
Yeah.
26 plus
20.
It all depends on what sockeye.
Is that total or just sockeye?
No, just sockeye.
Oh, yeah, no, we're there because this is a total salmon. It's not per species. Yeah, so yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're over the 30,000 threshold.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another issue. But
well, then this is kind of mute.
It's not.
Last year, you might not have the sockeye.
Yeah, it's not.
Exactly.
It's not. And
well,
it's
so
not, it, the sockeye run will run for another week, and that's it. And they're going to drop off like a rock at Solo Shad, and then we're going to be back way below that. So, and that's when that's good. This issue for some years is just going to get worse. So, yeah, that's just another issue. Yeah. But not this issue.
Yeah, just complex.
We just got to prioritize our issues. So anyway, one way of getting around there to approach this, I think, would be to just look to see what our descaling rates look like at Powerhouse 2 with the operation at the upper end of 1%.
So you want to meaningfully just knowing the upper end for a period of time and just kind of do an ad hoc study?
Yeah, it's just to see if we see a response. And the reason I say that is that earlier this year we were actually operating at the upper end of 1% for a couple of days, and I didn't see and I can't say that it was different, but I didn't see a descaling rate or mortality rate on subboiling Chinook that alarmed me at all. It's within the realm of normal. So, and that kind of told me that, for that species, sockeye were crazy off the charts.
Yes.
You know, no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even want to go there, but I'm not proposing that. I'm only proposing that once we get past the 95% date for sockeye, then we implement this. So one way to go about it is to see if there is an effect on the on Chinook. If there's no effect, then I don't need to go down the road of trying to figure out some bogus predation effect in the tail race.
Someone's really doing these kind of like very slapdash quick studies are never. I can see a lot of people screaming at us for being a bunch of idiots. I mean, it's not unusual for me, but I mean, I don't think you like to be called an idiot. I don't mind. I'm used to it.
Okay.
So
I'm old. It doesn't matter.
Because I mean, that's one of the things. Would you envision like a 2-day?
I've seen that.
Yeah, no.
I mean, actually, you can just forget all this.
Go ahead and talk about other bodily issues. So, are you thinking like maybe a 2-day block thing, like 2-day on, 2-day off, for a couple?
If you want to do a study, or you just look at it and see if you see numbers that are that much different from the day before. You know, but you could do it that way too.
It's how often do they monitor?
How long do you do that?
Bonnables every day, until we hit a temperature threshold.
Yeah.
So in 2 weeks, do this.
Way behind. On the temperature, we're low.
Yeah, no, we're totally fine.
If
we've seen anything.
Yeah.
And that was,
saw descaling rates that jumped up, I'd be concerned, definitely. But if I don't, maybe it's...
It depends on the year.
You give the benefit of doubt to the first Powerhouse tail race, and you go with it.
But I just have to say, kind of, I agree with what Lisa was saying. We could look back at years' worth of information, but good luck with that, because I think we butt heads on this plenty of times at TMT, where we kind of looked at it and... It wasn't always as crystal clear as we were hoping for. I know for some people it was, and for some people it wasn't. And then to add complexity to it, overlay that with whatever's been going on at the project, with cleaning and yada, yada, yada. And then, so...
And also, it's not going to be clean, because some of those years you're going to have some units that high.
Sure.
At 1%, someone wouldn't have been. So you're going to spend a lot of time parsing that out.
Yeah.
And I welcome some to have fun with that.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like...
But there is a general, we do have a general feel for scaling of subboiling Chinook and Bonneville. I mean, that's very low.
Yeah, I'm trying to say if you're doing a historical thing, I think it'd be a little more difficult. I think your idea isn't bad. I'd take a look at some runtime and see, try not to do this obviously at peak. So if we actually do see an effect, not do it then.
No, absolutely.
And I haven't taken a look at the...
I was looking at it today for subyearlings, and we're certainly not at a peak.
Nope.
It's about to. Speaking of McNary right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, the only downside is we've got the flows right now, so you'd actually have not as many fish going to Powers 2, because you're running Powers 1 high up, so that's
well,
a bad
that's
time to be there.
Issue, so that's going to slide us by what Scott brought up. It's a good point. I mean, it's going to be a few days before our sockeye numbers start to drop. But they always do by the end. I mean, for the last 10 years, they've started to drop pretty quickly after the end of Jan, so...
Yeah.
So are you questioning these Gilbert results a little bit, Gary, or are you just trying to confirm or deny what he's got here?
Well, I'm not questioning what he's got here. I mean, he's got it. It's what it is.
Basically, it looks like it went up from 0.6 at the middle for mortality to 2.6, and from 0.4
just scaling to 3.3 at the upper, which is a much lower response than we see earlier in the year with subyearling like Spring Creek.
Yeah.
So they're obviously, you know, bigger, healthier fish going through the.
They're still a response.
They respond more like Spring Chinook.
Spring Chinook, exactly.
Yeah, it's nothing like sockeye. It's nothing like. I'm not saying there's no detriment here. The question is the trade-off between one bad condition and another bad condition.
It's not as much of a no-brainer.
I'd sure like not to be in this situation at all. And I'm encouraged that the Corps has actually managed to get a test off this year with blocked flow control devices in place. So that'll be good to see what the results are of that. I talked to John yesterday, John Maricich, about it, and he's proposing to present the results of those studies at the next Portland District Fitterwig.
Do they still have those?
It's probably going to be late July.
Okay.
So before that's out there. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. We're not changing anything this year, so.
Go ahead, so that's the question.
Down the road, I hope we will.
Yeah, I mean, so you're comfortable kind of running this the way through for the rest of this year? Or do you want to try to implement something this year on this?
Well, I'd like to see if we could test that and see if it makes sense.
So you want to just do a test with subyearlings, like just run topper and norm set?
I mean, if you still see the response. Scaling rates and mortality jump up and all, that forget
that. So after the split flow trigger, is the subyearling run is declining, maybe, the flows?
The subyearling run, yeah. I mean, we're talking the hatchery masses that are coming at us right now. We're not talking about the Hanford or the Snake River. Well, I know it's Snake River Wilds are going to be later, so.
That's what I was thinking.
This is a hatchery mass that's hitting at us right now.
So the thought is maybe wait to get the peak by, then maybe try it after that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there will be several peaks as we go through the season. This will just be one of them, but this is a hatchery really, I guess. So we need to be concerned.
So let's see, we have FPOM in 14 days. So,
weeks.
So the question is maybe around then or before.
We can watch the run.
Yeah.
And see what it's doing. Let's maybe sockeye, adult. But the adult run is going to limit this somewhat.
Yep. So what I suggested, maybe we track this at FPAC. And if once we get done getting yelled at FPAC for messing with this, we can see about getting this hole in. I wonder. I'm going to be surprised he's going to yell at me in that meeting. So
I'll start right now, Tom, if you want me to.
Oh, hey, it's just giggles.
Hey, you're on the phone. Start.
Yeah, no, actually, I have to apologize. It's been very hard to follow the conversation. Some of it is fading in and out on me.
That's because Gary keeps leaning away from his microphone.
Yeah, but for the most part, I have.
I heard kind of various things. Do a test this year, not do anything this year. When it's all said and done here, I hope somebody can summarize exactly what's going to happen clearly so we all know.
All right, so do you want me to give you that quick summary and then you can start yelling at us after you understand what's going on?
Well, let me throw this out first for you guys to chew on. We've got a couple of releases coming up, July 2nd and then July 17th. The first from Little White and the second from Willard. They are upriver bright Chinook. They're going to be about the size or slightly smaller than the May release from Spring Creek, Thule's, about 70 to 90 the pound. So in tracking the operations, I was thinking, well, it's not going to be a problem because with the new operation we have, we should have plenty of capacity to maintain the Powerhouse 2 at the midpoint during this time period. But if we're going to start messing around and doing tests, I'm going to have to take this into consideration and really understand what's going to happen here and make you aware that we got some small fish coming in July.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think what the thought was is that we take this test. Obviously, we're not talking about anything like this for the next week or two because we have an adult trigger which is kind of mandating us to keep a split flow. And then we also know that we're kind of hitting these peak runs and seeing these big returns, big releases. So the thought is that we take this to FPAC and try to see if we can find a time that makes some sense. And that was one thing the reason why I wanted to take it to FPAC was to find out when some of these releases were going to be and what kind of fish they're coming out, and so that we whatever we do test, we try to either maximize or minimize impacts on these different releases. And
yeah,
so,
okay.
so the thought is take a DEFPAC, propose this, try to find a time that seems to have the least potential impacts, and then at that we'd write an SOR saying, hey, for, I don't know, for 6 days, do 2 days on, 2 days off of units to the upper end of 1%, and see if it does confirm what Galbraith was finding when he was doing stuff. Because we're still seeing impacts with the... This is awesome. I love the feedback.
I don't care.
This is Charlie touching his microphone. Excellent. And the great thing is he didn't realize it. There you go.
So I assume the fish Gary is talking about when he talks about river run suburbing, or the larger fish coming from upriver somewhere.
Yes. That was what he was envisioning, because obviously doing small fishing, and I think we're just going to see what we've seen before, and that's going to be like, hey, great, we've once again confirmed it.
I haven't been real close to the project the production of these July fish, but I'll have to find out some more information. These are part of John Day mitigation that the Corps is paying for.
Yep.
And the water there and the little white salmon is cold, so it takes a while to get them. Especially
at
Willard, get
them
up to size.
Oh, yeah, no, trust me, if it's John Day mitigation, I'm going to get my head beat about me if I start whacking those fish. So I'm right with you there that I'm going to have to tread a little carefully about when we do this and try to...
Yeah, I just want to make sure we don't pull the trigger on something today without having really considered everything.
Honestly, I think I've put the trigger gun lock safety on this one, and I'm going to take it to FPAC before. I don't think... I'm making sure we don't pull trigger on anything right now because... There's a couple more moving pieces here I need to investigate.
That's all I want to make sure of, that we're all aware of what's going to happen.
Yeah, Dave, we like to jump the gun, but I think we're not even quite that jumpy today. So.
Okay. Well, I just wanted people to know.
So long and short is, let's take this to FPAC. We will take a look at run timing data and that kind of stuff, and then see if there seems to be a good time when we could maybe try this. We'll take the staff back. There's going to be a lot of fussing and fooling about this, so we'll see what we get out of that. Does the Corps, are you guys adamantly opposed to this? Is this something we should even pursue? Because if you guys are going to say, what are you doing? Don't waste my time with it, then I'm not going to take the FPAC. But if you guys are open to this, then I'll move forward with the FPAC.
Looks like something we can work around, Tom.
Okay.
If it doesn't have a lot of hydro impact, it's just turning units on and off.
Honestly, I just see we're just shifting flow between Power Small Barrel 2. I think that's all we're doing.
Well, the operator having to turn things on and off.
Yeah. I don't think, and by doing 2-day blocks, I hope that should make things I don't know if it's easier or worse than days. You guys tell me, and then I'll take that back. We'll take that into consideration.
Fine.
It seems reasonable. I just have to throw it out for the spirit conversation, just being lazy. Is there any... whenever the word SOR is thrown out, it immediately perks up my ears because there's always policy implications.
I don't have to do an SOR.
So I guess I just for a couple minutes here, might folks be entertaining the conversation? Is there an easier way to do this? Or is that, I just want to throw it out there for the spirit of conversation. Do folks want to do an SOR? Is it something you want to do through FPOM, either through a special whatever? But
I don't care.
Okay.
SOR seems to be the kind of standard process for making operational request changes. So
okay.
System operational requests. So... if there's a better way to do it, I don't know if it'd be a change form, which seems to be even more arduous. I don't know what's a better operation.
Well, just to call the Doug and have him do a teletype.
Yeah. I mean, I could see some people wanting some sort of documentation of why we are doing this. Tammy giving me the evil eye, like, don't you dare not do that. I don't care. I mean, if you guys are that nervous about SORs.
No, I'm not. I guess I feel like just based on the history of this, it's been a very robust dialogue, conversation. I don't really want to resurrect that, and so I'd rather just have this being viewed as a refined approach to a newly implemented operation. And so there's still some uncertainty, and so folks wanted to see if within the sideboards that we could do some short duration operation to evaluate blah 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 blah, but not to shine a spotlight on it to the extent possible. And so that's what I would hope for. But,
well, honestly,
but again,
it's not going to have much of a spotlight. I mean, getting anything out of that pack, that's where the problem's going to be. You're going to be totally insulated from this whole beat down I'm about to get when I get to FPAC. So, whatever.
So why would you get beat down?
Gary, have you been to FPAC recently?
No, I haven't.
There you go. Join me on Tuesday, and you'll soon see why.
Can I call in?
As far as I'm concerned, personally, I don't
get
to the point where I don't really care about this, but this is really for Dave Wills.
Yeah. And for Tom Lors, two people who care a lot about Fall Chinook, yeah. And it's all about doing the right thing at Bonneville Dam. It's not about, and I would think that you'd be most concerned when you have the most fish passing through the project.
No, so, honestly, I'm optimistic that most people are going to be supportive and it's not going to be a problem.
It doesn't matter.
But I don't know. I mean, some days
it's the sea. You can see one, you can't see the other, and people tend to react to what they can see. So all I'm doing is raising the issue of what you can't see can still bite you, and you should pay attention to that and what you guys decide. I mean, from NOAA fishery standpoint, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna break my pick on this. I can
no,
easily walk away. In fact, I was about ready to wad it up and throw it away this morning on the way over here, and I thought, well, I'll throw it out there and let people chew on it.
That's an issue. I think having a healthy discussion at FEC would be fine. I mean, some people, I just tickle people the wrong way, and we might have a discussion about this.
I know that exactly what you mean.
I know.
But I heard Dave pushing back, and other people pushing back, and I think, you know, what I'm raising is an issue that you really ought to be concerned about. Yeah. Think about it. It's for your fish, not, I mean, we're not too concerned about this. So.
Yeah, Gary, I'm only pushing back because I want to make sure we consider all of the...
Right, and I hope you do. I hope everybody does. You know, I mean, you guys were on top of the predation issues back in the day, so you know what, you know, Fish and Wildlife Service spent a lot of money and time on that. You know what the issues are, Tom Poe's work. And I'm just raising the caution that as that powerhouse drops in flow, the tail race gets worse and worse and worse, and how many more fish do we want to put over there? That's all I'm saying. If you guys think it's not that big of a risk, then I'm fine.
Well, you bringing this up makes it mean I'm going to have to dust off some paths and start doing some, just getting some.
Just think about it. Yeah,
I just want to get some, like, some kind of range findings.
Makes sense. And if you guys see the way you go on this one, I'm fine.
That's what I'm just saying. To FEC. I mean, some people might go, oh yeah, we should really look into this. And other people might be like, what are you doing? So
yeah, that's all I'm raising.
We'll see how it, I'll make sure I bring snacks that day so maybe people won't be so mean to me. I don't know, we'll figure it out.
Chocolate.
Yes. We ought to make sure Gary comes to the meeting.
Oh, don't think I'm not going to drag him there. Either that or Trevor's going to be his proxy. But Trevor has to be there in person. He can't call in and then ignore us for half the call.
Paul will be there.
Yeah, Paul's too easy to beat up, though. He's like a pinata, so that doesn't count. We do that.
Well, I'm not there to get beat up, I'll tell you that right now. So.
You didn't know FPAC was full contact meetings?
If you guys don't care, I don't care.
No, it's not that we don't care, it's just that it's like one of those things, like, without good solid data, you start playing the what-if game, and I hate doing that.
Well, so. We have a lot of data on both sides of this, we just don't have exact data.
Exactly. So, does that kind of run this one to ground?
We're done.
Excellent. Okay.
So, wait. So,
are you going first or am I going first?
If you decide you care,
oh God,
the paperwork should be an MOC rather than an SOR. That way Doug doesn't have to get all uppity about it.
I'll deal with it instead. So I call you, you put out an MOC. Okay, so that would be the plan.
You threatened to drag me to that.
I would send you the information.
I don't want to go to that.
You guys write up an MOC and we take it through FPOM.
But you can't follow the little form? Yes, send me the info and I will draft it.
I
don't do anything else but write MOCs for people, so I'm happy to do it for you.
We're so good at it. And by the way, you're the operator, so you're the one who has to make that request to change operations. I'm not an operator.
Anyone can submit an MOC.
We'll talk about this later.
That's fine. Send me the info, and that's the way we'll go. That way it goes through FPOM and doesn't necessarily go through TMT.
That makes my life happier.
It'll make Doug happier, too. And I'm all about making Doug happier.
Because, I mean, that's how Walla Walla does it. They have the SRWG, they request for a modification.
Which would be great, but I don't know what's going on with Portland SRWGs versus Bitterwigs and all of that. Because ideally, that is where it would have gone. But in the absence of that, it should probably go through FPOM.
Sure, we have to forget that Walla Walla has, like, 13,000 bios to work on stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, if you had John write it up as a quick little research review by SRWG and making the MOC, then it seems like it'd be...
Okay, so he's in the Cayman Islands until right before FPOM.
Rare stitches?
Even better.
Cool. Yeah.
I was going to write it up down there.
Tell him we need to have a...
And he left his phone at home.
So, no, I think we need to have a meeting in the Caymans, and I think he's going to sponsor it, so this is perfect. I like that.
Can you start the MIPR for that?
Yeah, can you get the MIPR process going?
Yeah, but NOAA won't accept them, so it won't matter.
The rest of us can do it. Oh, that's so much better than the game.
Right.
Minneapolis, it's the You know, it's the tropics of the Midwest.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in his absence, I am taking on some of his projects to help him with coordination, so I was just going to make it all go through FPOM anyway.
Excellent.
I think so. This is not an SRWG issue.
Yeah. So have we run this to ground? Excellent. Any other issues that...
Okay.
Hit your button, otherwise Burn can't hear you.
So just fast forward to, so we do the test.
Okay.
What do we get, and then what's it going to tell us, and what would it look like that would establish, what would be the magic number we'd be looking for?
That's what we have to figure out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, if we see very similar numbers to what Gilbert
So like the 3.6.
Yeah, if we see that kind of response, then it's like, crap. Then we just might have to bite the bullet and just kind of keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, that's where Tom's SIMPAS work's going to come in very handy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if we see no response, then it's like, then there is no penalty to basically run the powerhouse here at the upper end. And then we can get away from Gary's issue at powerhouse one.
Okay.
So that would be the I don't know if it's the ideal, but that would be the cleanest solution.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
but
I saw no difference. If you did three tests.
What would you do with Gilbreth data then? I mean, how would you reconcile the delta if you essentially have information out there that says you're going to get 3.6, you all of a sudden get 0.9 or 1.2? What do you?
It doesn't change anything.
Okay.
It really doesn't, because we saw a huge difference with Sockeye and other and with Spring Creek migrants, and so and with other yearlings, there's no reason to back away from fixing the problem. But for some yearlings, we saw a lot less of a response than we did for the other species. And so,
so
the solution that we're working on isn't one that you would implement in the spring and not in the summer. It's a full-time, year-round change. So I don't see it changing anything about where we're going with the resolution, the fix, the problem.
And that's part of the reason why sub-yearlings weren't included in the trigger concept, because obviously sub-yearlings would totally swamp out anything your adults was. That's why we didn't use them, is we didn't have an adult trigger turn off for them. We basically just assumed we wouldn't do this.
Okay.
So for subs, we basically knew that there is some impact, but it was small enough that we thought there was not as big a benefit compared to the other benefits we'd receive by not doing this. So we have looked at that, but there is an impact.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to...
It's a balancing act, and you know, it's going to be a gut check by managers.
Yeah, and I'll probably do it wrong, but there you go. So are there any other, I've got an issue, are there other issues people saw for change form? Okay, the one I saw was, I need to spend a lot more time looking at the fallback data, but it does seem like there was a time when we were spilling gobs of water, we had high descaling by sockeye and that kind of stuff. The question then becomes, is there a threshold where it really doesn't matter for fallback? We've already kind of maxed out our fallback potential, and having an extra 15K is not going to really significantly impact fallback. And then is there thresholds where that 15K is really critical for fallback? That's, you're going to see a significant... I mean, we did see, I think Trevor and I took a look at some of the stuff that Miller put together, and we do feel comfortable saying that, yes, there was a response definitely once, I think, definitely around 140. And it should be something that once you got about 110, 120, you really start to see a definite dramatic increase in fallback. So the question is there a number limit to that? Once you get above, like, say, 160, 170, having an extra 15K, does that even matter one bit? Because that's when, and if so, the question is, if we hit adult criteria, we're still spilling 170, do we really want to implement the adult criteria at that time to basically say we need to do more for adults who worry about fallback when we're saying that doesn't make a damn, it's not going to make a difference. But we would see a difference for, like, this year. If we hadn't turned on the adult trigger, we would have had the descaling for sockeye. Unfortunately, as Gary's pointed out, we didn't have as many sockeye going through there, so there we were fortunate. It's like, that's why I didn't yell and scream about this. I mean, I called Gary, was doing nervous Nelly, but it's like, he's going, you know, think about it. And we did, and it's like, I'm going, you're right. There is only about 2% of the sockeye being impacted by this, so there is probably still an adult benefit. The question is there some threshold and spill where it's doesn't matter. It's like, we're spilling so much anyways, we're going to get a high fallback, we're going to get that level of fallback regardless, and having an extra 15K isn't going to change that. And then it kind of, I think Ben was digging us a little bit, going like, hey, I've got some descaling going on here, are you sure you want to implement this little trigger? And that got me thinking, so that's what I need to start spending some more time, and I'm going to try to hit Ben up a little bit, and I'm going to dig back through the thing and see if I can find, so see if we can find some like threshold points in spill and fallback. The downside is it's kind of like the predation data we have in PowerS1. It's not super clear.
Yeah.
So
So.
So in terms of pit reascension data, if you are a believer in that and you look at that, reascension at Bonneville is pretty linear. And there's no like asymptote or plateau. It just continues to go up at a fairly smooth linear rate with spill. So.
Yeah, I just can't believe it. Cause, I mean, there's gonna be some threshold where it just doesn't matter. I mean, if you're spilling 200 and you look at putting an extra 15K, I can't believe you're going to be able to detect that difference.
Now, you may not be able to detect it, but based on the trends, I mean, the trend line just continues to climb. It doesn't have an exponential increase or logarithmic increase. It's just linear. And that's not true for all dams. Some dams, like McNary,
Yeah. It
fallback actually increases exponentially with spill. Bonneville just climbs. It's a little climber on the Price is Right. Just goes up the hill.
You had the same childhood I did, didn't you?
You've been home watching TV a lot
lately. And it never falls off
the hill. It never goes up the edge. So yeah, that's the only thing I'm going to try to take a look at, and we'll take a look. I mean, there's the Dulles ascension data we have, the RT stuff. I'm just going to take a look and see if I can even find something that makes some sense and that kind of stuff. But I mean, I don't know. I'll have to take a look at it because I also got to see the slope of the graph.
Certainly that percentage of spill or that volume of spill is a less and less and less percent.
Exactly.
At some point, it starts to become insignificant.
Yeah, like a 215% of 200 is pretty small. But 15% at 100 is 15%. So that's when you start.
Yeah, both of those, I mean, we're talking about 15, 17K here. Both your issue and mine both have an effect. I mean, it's a small amount.
Yeah.
So you're not moving that much flow back and forth.
What do we know about reascension of Bonneville?
Basically, all we have is from pit tanks. So if a fish fell back and then reascended, we have the pit tank information. That's a conservative number because only the survivors make it.
We have the RT data, too.
We do have the RT.
Yeah,
there's one or two years where you can actually compare the two.
Yep.
And the RT data was a higher fallback rate than the reascension.
Yep.
Well, it's definitely,
it has to be,
especially at Bonneville.
Gives you a little bit of a correction factor there.
Because there's Willamette overshoots. There's quite a few overshoots.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So it's one of the things, like, it just struck me as, I just never thought we'd have a problem with, like, oh, hey, we got a lot of spill. Oh, but we have the dull trigger, and we have to sockeye the skate. It was like, crap. So we had to take the hopefully less bad
situation. Lesser of the evils.
Yeah. So that's the only thing I'm going to take a look at, and I will probably, if I find something, I will present it, and people can chew on it and see what they want to do with it.
And just to clear the 15, so the 15K extra spill that would have happened during the time that we were seeing the descaling was because there was only 5 units available at that time, 3K units. So if we have 6 or 7 units in there, you're talking about a greater quantity spill that you'll be making a difference.
So it'll be like 19. I'm just trying to find gross checkpoints.
For that time of the year, you're going to have a high tailwater because you have high spills, and typically that is a lower flow through the unit difference.
Yeah. So that was the only thing I saw on the change form.
Could be only 2, 2.5.
Yeah, may not be much.
Difference.
So it's one of those things. I just wanted to check the box, and that was something that I had noticed as going, something I need to take it to verify. Still feel comfortable with how it's formed. So, and that's something else I'll probably bring it to FPAC and beg FPC to take a look at, besides me, to have someone else verify, but I think they're short-manned right now, so.
I'll send you all the graphs that I have.
Awesome.
You can see if you can find a little hedge point in there.
I've got darts. I can find something. All right, so does the Corps have any big consternation with the way things rolled out this year? BPA? Well,
I don't think
it's
so.
True, but this way, you suffered through.
It just took it carried away with your new change.
The only other thing that Gary that you mentioned at the last FPOM was the within mid range language that doesn't allow them to operate at the lower 1%, and if that was something that folks are comfortable with, just not allowing any powerhouse to operate the lower 1% either throughout the whole season, if that's something that people wanted to look into more.
Yeah, it's the last week of August. We'll be looking at Bob Davidson's analysis of the turbine units down at Erdick, and I think I want to see the bead data on that. And I mean, there's some issues there
some big issues, I think, that we need to consider. You know, we saw pretty high survivals from the PNL data at all ranges at Powerhouse 2. That doesn't make a lot of sense compared to what we've seen in the model.
You're saying your magic beads don't tell you everything?
Yeah, well, I don't know what the beads tell us because we haven't seen the magic beads yet to tell us anything. But that is something we will be looking at the last week of August, apparently. The verdict has that work nearly done, if not done. So I'd like to look at that before we, you know, broaden that range completely. Those are just looking at all the available data that we have.
So one point I was going to bring up on early trips, you saw that Walla Walla is now proposing a trip in July 17th?
No, 7th.
Well, it's early July regardless. My point is, I'm saying, did we want to try to stack the dowels into that?
Yeah, I can't make that because I'll be in Minneapolis, well, in Iowa, at a wedding.
The tropics of the Midwest, excellent. You enjoy
that? Yeah, lovely. That's why it's got pushed into August.
Okay. Yeah, it's worth a shot.
So you got to go twice.
No.
Is PNNL data available? Have they finished that report?
That's a great question for someone from Northwest Portland District who we don't have anyone here.
Vice Versich.
Yeah. It was supposed to be done, what, a month ago?
Yeah. It's kind of like that whole thing about how, you know, Skalski was supposed to have the performance data all on a nice website that they're supposed to just press the supposed to press the button. That hasn't happened.
That'll be a cold day.
The core was supposed to have a library for all these reports. That hasn't happened. So yeah, it's just kind of a standard operating procedure.
He's not on the plane yet, so I will find out.
Oh, very nice.
But Brittany does.
Are you going to page him with the white phone?
He doesn't have.
He still has his
phone. Paging the white phone at the airport. Would Mr. John Versich please pick up the white phone? The
courtesy
phone.
We call him John. Do
you could always call security and say,
Jonathan,
put his name on the list.
Put him on the do not fly list.
Is Jonathan offensive?
Don't have trouble name?
No.
Does he get mad?
He just looks location.
So don't
look too casual. Sorry.
Yeah, that Superman haircut of his, that's just not acceptable.
I call him Kal-El now.
You should talk. Dude, I'm rocking the mullet, baby. I'm bringing the mullet back single-handedly.
Oh, that's going to be...
Yeah, the concerts. Concerts. Have you seen the... what was it? McMinnman's concert series? Get your mullet on, because you got...
I just need to start showing up then. Excellent.
Foreigner's coming.
Owl sticks. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
My
that's
days.
Mary Hill.
Sorry, Mary Hill.
All right. So as much as people want to listen to sticks and haircut designs, is there anything else we need to wrap up in this? Anyone? Hearing...
When do you think you'll have something from that back?
I'll take it up next Tuesday, and Dave will be there to remind me, so we'll talk next Tuesday. If things go swimmingly, we'll take a look at that. I mean, I don't see us trying to implement anything for at least 2 weeks.
Just bring it back up at the next F-bomb meeting.
F-bomb, or I'll send an email out, or I'll contact Tammy and she'll send MOC out because she's so quick.
When's the next F-bomb?
July 10th.
Is it the 10th? Yeah, there you go.
So we're at Erdick.
You're at Erdick.
You're
at Erdick. He's in Minneapolis, so it'll be just Trevor and me. Trevor, you going down to Erdick?
I was invited.
No. They haven't asked me either, so don't feel bad. I think you had to respond.
I think so.
The great thing was they basically said, here's a day, respond by tomorrow if you can go. It's like, oh, thank you for a whole day to decide. Yeah. And I'm out that week, too. So
that means you're coming to the trip in August?
Not last week. I'm going to be doing some creel sampling off of the west coast of Vancouver. I'm going to be sampling this fall Chinook run. So with some scale analysis, it'll be awesome, hopefully. So I think we've killed it in less than an hour.
Yes.
We're better than TMT.
Wow.
No. TMT, we will sit there and talk about nothing for hours at TMT.
You missed the process meeting last week, so I don't even want to hear about that one. I got the best chuckle out of it I've had in a long time. Russ Kiefer, TMT's going so much better than it has in years past.
Did you hang it up?
35 minutes later, him and Tony are each other's close.
For the second meeting in a row. For the second process meeting.
That concludes this meeting. Go ahead, hang on.
Unless you have any questions.
Bye-bye.